Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Holy is His name.
Shema
of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco compound back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now, when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, names can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said, the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stop my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? Open up your mind.
daylight is almost gone. The birds have sung their last. The bells call out to mass. Sit here by my side, for the night is very long. Something I must hear before I pass along. I join the brotherhood. My books were all to me. I scribe the words of God and much of history. Many years was I witched out upon the sea. The waves would wash my tears, the wind my memory. I'd hear the ocean breathe, exhaled upon the shore. I knew the tempest's blood, its wrath I would endure. And so the years went by within my rocky cell, with only a mouse or a bird, my friend and love well. And so it came to pass, I'd come here to Romani. Till I arrived here with thee, the dusty roads I walked, and over mountains high, through rivers running deep beneath the endless sky.
Sun, they relaxed. The bells. the signs. America is changing, and freedom's on the line. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call? Give your all. Will you for the USA? Washington, D.C. It's about our God and country, about our liberty. It's about our independence. It's about the IRS. It's about our right to bear arms, about peace and happiness. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand?
Blind like wooden Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 20th day of November, year 2022. I am Pastor Dan, your host, and today's broadcast is entitled Hold On Tight. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note, I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Prynhawnda, Cymru'n Bydd. By the way, Prynhawnda is good afternoon, and Cymru'n Bydd is Wales forever. Interestingly, the nation of Wales, that comes from the German language. They did not refer to themselves that way, of course. Cymru and Cumrag is their language. Cymru is named after an Israelite king of the Old Testament. So the fingerprints, once again, of the identity message, who are the true people of the Bible, just keeps on going on and on and on. The more you dig, the more truth you search for, the more you will find out the identity message is the true scriptures, the true word that was left for us, his children, and historically who we are. And we have been the forgetful ones, Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, Ephraim being, of course, the European and particularly the United Kingdom people, and Manasseh being the United States or North Americans. Manasseh means forgetful ones, and we are forgetful. We forget about our father, we forget about our history, we even forget about our race today. We don't even care about the purity of our race and the education of our children, and we alienate our affection to one another and even our own family members. We've completely forgotten everything. Even recent history, the teachings of the founding fathers, the teachings of those who saw the lies and deceptions of what we call the Civil War, which actually was the war of northern aggression. Already the North was under the influence of these Zionist communist pigs that walk amongst us. And so we forget. In fact, it is so bad now, I doubt that our people have an attention span much more than about 20 seconds. It's really that bad. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. And we go to the Daily Mail page. There is where we put current events, a lot of links for information that we think would be useful to you. The home page is where you get information on how to help us out financially. And there's a page called Contact Us if you do not have my personal contact information or email addresses. Remember that our Heavenly Father will never take you where the grace or protection of our Father will not protect you. Here again, faith. You know, how many people have faith today? That's why he said, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Will he? Not much. Not much at all, actually. We live in a dystopic world today. We talk about that. And so since our vocabulary typically today is abysmal, pretty pathetic, when I was a boy, we used to have spelling clubs. We had a reading club. I started buying books when I was in the fifth grade, so that's 10 years old. And I remember when Reader's Digest, this is long before the computer age, Reader's Digest used to have a vocabulary builder section in it. And every month when I got the Reader's Digest, I would go to those 10 words and I would try to learn those 10 words. So every month I tried to add 10 new words to my vocabulary. And of course the secret to that was to use the word. And typically if you could use that word for 7 days in a row, every day just try to think of some sentence to use that word, you would pretty much remember that word for the rest of your life. just like when we found the word rhadamanthine, which comes from the Greek mythologies, and it's a description or an adjective. And we've said that rhadamanthine men, that's what we men are supposed to be, rhadamanthine. Rhadamanthine means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. And when I found that word in my Webster's Encyclopedic Dictionary, and I'm talking about a hard copy here that's about 3.5-4 inches thick, I thought to myself, wow, that's a beautiful word, rhadamanthine. Why don't we hear that? To be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Wouldn't we want that to be applied to our preachers? How about our judges? How about lawyers? Hey, here's a good one for you. How about government officials? How about military leaders? How about neighbors? How about people in my own family? To be strictly and uncompromisingly just. And yet I've never heard of this word. And then it dawned on me. Because it doesn't apply to anybody today. When I was in the military, it didn't apply to any of my officers. When I got into nuclear power, it didn't apply to any of the plant managers I knew. It didn't apply to any of the architect engineers that designed and built the plants. It didn't apply to any of the technicians I worked with, none of my supervisors, co-workers, administrators, procedure writers, work planners, neighbors, certainly not the media. Where in the hell in this society did it apply? You couldn't say the preacher or even the congregation could be used to this word to describe them, rhadamanthine. Maybe that's another sign of the times. And that's why I said hold on tight, because I have a feeling, and so do many of the what I call spiritual warriors of our people, feel that we're sitting on the precipice of something really, really big about ready to happen. The prophets predicted it. The signs of the times certainly point to it. And so hold on tight are the verses I'm going to talk about today, where the Father encourages us not to have a spirit of fear, but to have courage. And understand that even in this dystopic world, this cesspool that we find ourselves living in day to day, in this 3D dimensional body, this bag of bones that we're spiritually trapped in, even in the midst of all this chaos, the true sons and daughters of the Most High don't live in fear. Remember, fear, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. So remember that, fear. False evidence appearing real. See, that's the job of the media. And we've been talking about that on the radio program for 23 years now. Everything the media puts out there is propaganda. Everything the media puts out there is to generate confusion and fear. And our job is not to let them do that. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us extol him with songs. Now, of course, being out of the Psalms, that's the Old Testament. And yet, right here it says he is our rock of salvation. The church world has created a new God. They call him Jesus, the Christ. And they've created him in their own image. That's why the church world is so bankrupt of any morality today. It has no courage. It has no presence in this wicked world. It doesn't make a bit of difference whether they exist or they're there. They don't affect anything. We got millions of white men and women pouring into these buildings every Saturday and Sunday, thinking they're doing service to the Most High, when they're walking into a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. Of course, the deadest of the dead men's bones are that prostitute preacher. And God forbid you're in a church that's got a female preacher. You're really sinking to the bottom of the barrel. But even the men that I have met over my years and I hear about every day, they're not worth a nickel either. They're just lying prostitutes as well. But they generally can at least give a sermon that has a little more meaning, a little more oomph to it. Whereas the females I've heard, it was pathetic. But then again, we disobey everything today, and including the scriptures that says that women are to be quiet in the church and let the men teach. Oh, I know some ladies out there, well, how dare you, you know, in this age of feminism when women have completely abandoned their traditional roles, how dare you, Dan? How can you say such a thing? Women are equal to men. Well, I got news for you. No, you're not. Okay? Whether you like hearing it or not, I don't really care. But no, you are not equal to me. In fact, most men are not equal to me, and we're not equal to each other. So this whole nonsensical BS story that men and women are equal, no, you're not. Now, do you have equal standing under Yahweh's law? Well, of course. Of course, you have equal rights. You have equal standing, but you don't have equal talent. You don't have equal roles to play, and you sure as hell don't have the right to run a household. No, I'm sorry, you don't. Scripture doesn't give you that right. Well, Dan, my husband walked away and divorced me. Well, then go find a good man. Every woman is to have a man in authority over her. Every woman. We've talked about that numerous times. So I don't really care what your situation is. If you don't have a man in authority, then you're outside the scriptural limits. Well, Dan, that sounds sexist. Well, yeah. Call it whatever you want. I don't give a damn. The point of it is, it's the truth. And we talked about the fact when a man, traditionally anyway, when a father brought his daughter down to get married, she put her hand in his, and he brought her down to the front, and he gave her hand in marriage. Remember that saying? Give her hand in marriage. That means he was passing the responsibility to watch over this female from the father to the husband, the groom. See, it's grounded in scriptural, logical, historical truth. And ladies, that doesn't mean that men have a right to abuse you. It doesn't mean that we somehow are going to be saved and you're not. No, that what it means is every woman out there is to be protected, because what happened in the Garden of Eden? Nakash, the man, the evil, non-white piece of shit that he was, found Eve in the garden, meaning that area, alone. Adam had left her alone. And it didn't take very long. Then he snuck in here, just like these non-whites do to our white women when the white men aren't present. And they start talking their bullshit to them. Oh, hey, baby, you really look good. I'll love you forever. Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, no problem. Yeah, you're my babe. Come on. Give it up. And our women believe that bullshit. Well, I can't find a good white man, so I'll let these blacks and browns and yellows tell me all this stuff, because at least they talk to me decent. Well, that's because they'll feed you full of crap and lies, whereas the white guy's going to tell you the truth. Well, if he's a real white man. Now, I realize we have trash even amongst the white men, but the real white men, the real warriors amongst our people, not just males, but real men, they're going to tell you the truth. And in this day and age, most Western women, meaning most Caucasian women, have bought into the feminism, the Jewish feminism movement, and they have disavowed any ties to having white men in authority over them. It's a shame, because we were put here to be your guardians. We were put here to even lay down our lives, if necessary, to guard you, and you have treated us like shit. Now, Dan, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, I am a conduit to you, the listener, from the multitude of men who talk to me almost on a daily basis. Okay? So, if you don't like what I'm saying, that means you don't like what a great deal of the best of our men have been saying to me for the last week, to the last month, to the last year. Because that's what I'm bringing to you. It's not just my opinion. This is the opinion of the men that I know. The real men, the men who have educated themselves, conduct themselves properly, study the scriptures, keep themselves pure, don't put the pharmaceuticals, don't put the drugs, don't get into alcoholism or any of the other poisonous habits that some of our people have. Our men don't do that. And yet they can't find women worthy of men who are willing to do that. Because the women, they have this long laundry list of what they want, but they don't bring anything to the table. It's amazing. And again, I'm not telling you my opinion because I'm not out there on the dating scene. I really don't even care. This is what the men are telling me that are out there. So women who bring nothing to the table, have not taken care of themselves, are not educated, don't even know how to do domestic things such as clean a house or cook, God forbid that they actually become worthy mothers, and yet they have this long laundry list of what they expect their, quote, men, their men, to have. I got news for you, ladies. The real men are running away from you right now. Don't take my word for it. Go search for yourself. The men are running the other way. They don't want to have anything to do with you. And to our credit, for the past 20 to 40 years, in every public gathering I've been to and on the radio, we've told you this day would come. If you get involved in this Jewish bullshit feminist movement, the day will come when our men will turn their back on you. Let's see how well these non-whites take care of you when all hell breaks loose. And again, I'm not just painting a bad picture of our ladies. We got a lot of men that got their heads on backwards too. Their heads are so far up their rectums, they don't know if it's day or night. It's a shame, but a remnant of Yahweh's people are going to make it through, and it's the remnant that we make these addresses to. The remnant need to stay on the high ground. The remnant need to stay focused on the Father, on our race, who we are, and how we conduct ourselves. And that's why I picked some of these verses that we're going to talk about. Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed is he who comes in Yahweh's name. Doesn't say Jesus' name. Doesn't say the Lord. Doesn't say I got to go to some church to know about him. Doesn't even say I have to go to a priest or preacher. He who comes in the name of our Father. By the way, the word name that's translated here comes from both in the Greek and the Hebrew. In the authority of, just like you've seen the movies, as atrocious as most movies are, but you've seen the old, with the Middle Ages, the knights and the warriors, when they would say, we've come in the name of the king, it meant by the king's authority, and so that was what it means here too. Not just that he comes in Yahweh's name, proclaiming his name, it's in the name of, under the authority of. I bring Yahweh's authority, which is truth and righteousness. Again, because we're what? Radamanthine. If you do not conduct yourself in a way that your fellow Adamites, your fellow Aryans don't look at you and think of the word rhadamanthine, then you're not doing your job. Men. And if you want real ladies, they're out there. I admit, they may not be the majority, but they are out there, and they are not going to give themselves to a substandard male. So, guys, if these ladies and the rest of society doesn't look at you and say, that's a rhadamanthine man, that is a righteous man, then you have missed the mark. Sorry, hate to break it to you, but just being a male is not enough. The song that was playing just before we started with the live broadcast, Insane Babylonians by the Nazarite, Jonathan David Brown, a very good friend of mine. I wish he was still here. I would love to interview him again and have him talk about his beautiful music. But the song, Insane Babylonians, is so appropriate. If you did not hear it, go back to the archive of this program and listen to the music about 6 minutes in before eight. And you will hear the song, Insane Babylonians. It comes off the CD, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. One of the best CDs I ever bought. I've played his music for decades now. Him and Carl Klang, two of my favorites, for political and or spiritually uplifting music. Now, some people say, well, I think he sounds kind of like, he's not like a professional. You know, it doesn't sound like it came out of a sound room somewhere. Well, that's your problem. Again, they never claimed to be like million-dollar singer-songwriters, and because our people wouldn't pay for it. They would rather go listen to Kiss or some other Jewish group out there that makes complete asses of themselves singing nonsense, stuff you can't even understand half the time, but you would spend $100 to $300 for tickets to go listen to those retards instead of giving a few bucks to either Jonathan or Carl. That's the nature of our people, I've found out. Pretty sad, actually. So hang on, hold on tight, because the quote by Henry David Thoreau that we talk about here, it's starting to get out there, just like the Father says in Scripture, when you tell my truths, it will permeate through society. It is permeating out there, and I'm hearing more and more platforms talk about it. Of course, they're never going to give us identity teachers any credit for any of this. And we don't even care. The point of it is that Yahweh's truth is permeating through society right now. The truths about the criminality in government, banking, church world, etc. The things that don't work. The lies and deception. And so Henry David Thoreau said, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. So every guy that gets it right, for every one guy that understands the Zionist communist root of all of the evils of this world, there's 1,000 out there whacking away at the court system, the evil cops or the sheriff or the government or the church or the medical mafia or the mainstream. They're all branches of the same tree. So we've been saying it here for a long time. Why don't we focus on the root? Again, I grew up on a farm. You want to take a tree down, you don't whack the branches off and haul them away. You cut the damn thing off at the root. The other reason you cut at the root is so you don't have that tree growing back. When you have weeds in the garden, you don't just pick the leaves off of it. You pull it out by its what? Roots. And even Obadiah tells us that Edom Esau will be uprooted at some point by the hands of his children. I heard it many years ago. The kingdom of Yahweh will come in with violence by the hand of his people. These communists don't ever give up. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now it says woe to them. Where's the woe? I don't see any of these evildoers having much woe here lately. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Basically, it's saying woe, curses, imprecatory prayer against you pieces of garbage who take the truth and turn it upside down. Who take the world as created by our Father for the beauty of man to enjoy and turn it upside down. Who take people from the time they're born and put them in a system that enslaves them economically and physically when they were to be born free men and women upon the land. Not encumbered with a bunch of debt and obeyance to a criminal organization called government. And again, more platforms are talking about that every day. Fear not. Isaiah 41, starting at verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, the one entity in the world that Rhadamanthine would apply to each and every day of your life is our Creator Father. He put the Adamic man upon this earth and gave them a commission to administer his law upon the earth. Why? Because the earth was dark. Dark meaning ignorant, without knowledge, without truth. Chaos. Go into Central Africa and walk around for a while. What are you going to find? Chaos. Go through Asia and the Near East. Chaos. When the white man's not there, it is chaos. He put us down there on this earth, in this plane, under the firmament, to bring law and order, to bring civilization. What's the white man doing with that high calling? Nothing. Because we're too busy playing computer games, watching reality TV, or watching our porn, or chasing females at the bar, or getting drunk, or getting high. And we have much more important things to do. Trying to make more money so we can have bigger cars, faster cars, bigger homes that we don't need, buy more junk that we don't need. Yeah, we got more important things to do than to righteously rule this world so that all of creation can be in harmony with His law. Yeah, we have much more important things to do, right? That's why it says in Scripture, the whole world is in travail. Travail. That's the word that describes what a woman goes through when she's giving birth. Travail. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be what? Manifested. What does that mean, Dan? Manifested. It means show up for the game. Get off the bench and put your helmet on and get in the game, guys. And stop giving your allegiance to man-made government. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your Elohim God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. And the word God here, it even says in this particular version of the Bible, is from the Hebrew word Elohim, which is plural, by the way, Elohim. So every name with L in it, for instance, my name, Daniel, Daniel. When you see the El as part of that name, or Eliah, we call it Elijah, but it was Eliah. El is the shortened form of Elohim, which is standing for God, El, much as Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. Same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love." Oop, here's one for us guys. "And self-control." Don't see a lot of that lately. Not in my lifetime. If anything, the Jew has caused us to become like Jews, where we have almost no self-control. It's a frenzy to see who can die with the most toys. The white man has adopted the Jewish mentality of my worth in this world is measured in how many toys and how many electronic shekels I have in a electronic bank account. Talk about stupid. If our ancestors could be raised up out of the graves, they would be pissed royally at the behavior of their descendants. You're doing what to this world? You're doing what to your race for electronic digits? At least when Judas betrayed Christ, he did it for a bag of real money, silver. You people are betraying your race for electronic blips on a computer. Less than two volts DC blips coming across a busway in a central processing unit. That's what you're doing it for. You can't even see it, taste it, smell it, feel it. Nope. That's all it takes. The Jew waving his magic wand, "Here, let me give you this." And now we're measuring debt, not in millions. Oop, we've even gone past billions with a B. Now we're measuring debt in T trillions. The average person doesn't even have a clue what that is. Why should they? Because it's all just digits in a computer. Why don't we have quadrillion? And that's why the financial system is about ready to collapse. Which, again, John the Revelator told us about. But then again, we're better than that. We don't have to believe something written 2,000 years ago, do we? We're smarter than those guys. Psalm 34, verse 4. "I sought Yahweh, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." That's been one of the verses I've lived my life by. A warrior is not somebody who does not have fear. Or I should say at least anxiousness, okay? Courage is doing the right thing in spite of your anxiousness or fears, your concerns about the unknown. What drives you? Is it your, quote, fears, worries, or getting the job done and doing the right thing? That's the big question. That's what he's looking for. That's the test, in case you haven't figured it out. Why are we here in this mess? To see who the true sons and daughters are. Are they doing the right thing because it is the right thing? Or do they do it because they think they're going to get something? Do they do it because, well, it's a good show? Or in their heart of hearts, are they driven by exactly what he says? To be righteous in a world that is completely anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh. Psalm 27, verse 1. "Yahweh is my light and my salvation," is the title. It is written by David. Starting at verse 1, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold or refuge of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Again, do you believe those words? Do those words show an effect in your life and how you conduct yourself? Or are they just something that you give praise to him with lip service, which makes you what? One of the liars deceivers, and cowards, all of which are listed in Scripture as those who will not see the kingdom of Yahweh. He detests the lukewarm. He says with words such as, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." I don't know about you folks, but I've had to throw up a few times in my life. I'm telling you, it's not a very pleasant thing. And you have to be really sick. Something really has to be gnawing at you to make you want to throw up. It's disgusting. And it leaves a bitter, bitter taste in your mouth because of all that stomach acid coming back up through your tissue that was not designed to have that tissue, that acid there. And so that's a very picturesque verse when he says, "I will vomit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. You're just one of the fence setters. You're just sitting there. Well, I'll let somebody else do the fighting. I'll let somebody else take the reins because I want to sit here on the fence and just watch for a while." Well, let me know how it feels to be vomited out of the Creator, out of his mouth when he comes across you on Judgment Day. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them," with air quotes, "them, for it is Yahweh your God, your Elohim, who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." You know, the church world tells us to, you know, kind of ignore the Old Testament, stay in the New, which is predominantly the writings of one guy, Paul, which is kind of ironic because Paul himself said, "Don't take my writings, my letters that I'm writing to these folks in different locations, don't take my letters to be, quote, law." And yet the organized church world has done exactly that. And so, as particularly the Roman Catholic, which God forbid anybody is going to any of those institutions anymore, pure satanic. But the Roman Catholic world had great influence, and they focused on the New Testament, particularly Paul. Why? Because you can manipulate what Paul says. And so they turned it into a, quote, religion to control people, particularly the white man and the white woman. And a lot of the racialist groups, when they say Christianity is the bane of civilization, you got to remember you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater when you condemn all of the Bible-believing and Yahweh-fearing people, when you condemn us along with the Zio communist-loving Christards, churchgoers out here. Well, I agree with you. Those folks are truly a bane against all that is good in this world. Yeah, they are. I've been to many of those different churches over my years, especially as a younger man, and I'm going to tell you, they're hypocrites. They don't even read the Bible. They don't even really believe in the Bible. It's all church doctrine, which is exactly what Catholicism is. It's a political thing. It's to gain wealth and control over people. But that doesn't mean that the scriptures originally written by our people, the Hebrews, the Aryan Hebrews, are not true, or the God of that Bible, the God of this world, the God of creation is not true. It doesn't mean that. It's the same thing as, do you like as a white man and white woman being blamed for what Jews do because some of them look white? Jews are not white, folks. That's their own sayings. Go look in the Judaic Encyclopedia. They are not Caucasian. They are not Aryans. They are an alien race. John the Revelator says so in the Greek language, particularly in chapter 8. In the Greek language, his words ascribed to these people, it's as if they sprang from an alien race. Now you know why they love making movies about aliens and monsters and lizard people. They love it, throwing it in your face. They're not of us. That's why they don't act like us. That's why they can lie with impunity. Just as Yahshua said of them, the truth is not in them. And they have no conscience. That's why they can lie continually. That's why a guy recently I read about has been telling lies for decades about the Holocaust and his family being, quote, survivors. Complete fabrication. Does this guy have any remorse whatsoever? When he was interviewed, do you know what this piece of shit said? Well, I believed it to be true. This is the mind of a Jew. I believed it to be true, therefore I'm not guilty. You know, it reminds me of the Olympics back when they were in Norway. This goes a long way ago, I think in the 80s. And a car full of Israelis, five men and a woman, jumped out of the car and gunned a Palestinian man down, murdered him right there on the street in front of his wife and his children. They murdered this Palestinian, and it turned out the Palestinian was not the so-called terrorist that they were looking for. And I remember watching my 25-inch cathode ray tube television, because that's what we had back then. And I was watching it when this Israeli Mossad officer got on camera to tell the whole world that the Jews in that car were not guilty of murder because the Palestinian looked like the guy they were after. Only the mind of a Jew could say such a preposterous thing. You're not guilty of murder. This man was gunned down in front of his family. And you're not guilty because he happened to look a little bit like the guy you were after. So you six murdering bastards get out away from it. You don't have to be punished. Only the mind of a sick, demented, antichrist Jew could come up with a story as preposterous as that. But even worse, is that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christian world accepted it. That's the only thing worse. We accepted it. I remember back then I was going on and on. I was in the military at the time. I'm going, how the hell does Israel, even though I did not know the Jewish the question back then, but I said to my fellow Air Force guys, how does Israel get away with this shit? How do they murder a man in cold blood, and because some retard from the Mossad gets in front of the TV camera, the world is going to give him a pass for committing murder? They admitted it. They murdered him. Just like the USS Liberty in the 1960s. They tried to hide it. They tried to say it was Egyptians that tried to sink that United States Navy vessel and killed all and wounded all of those sailors. But when that wouldn't pass because too many sailors had already written home or called home at one point and said, no, it was obvious it was Israelis. We knew that. And they could see the giant flag at the back of the boat. They knew it was a United States vessel. So what did they do? They went in to each and every member of that crew that survived. The United States Admiralty did that. Went in there under the pressure from Lyndon Johnson, another piece of shit Jew hiding amongst us. And they told every member that they must not say anything about that incident on pain of imprisonment, or even death, threatened American sailors and their families to be quiet. Again, can you say Rhadamanthine about the United States military leadership, even in the 1960s? No. Sorry. Can you say that the leadership of the American churches at that time get a Rhadamanthine accolade attached to them? No. They went along with it too. And even to this day, they still want to bury it because they don't want you to think about the fact that the Israelis murdered United States naval personnel and tried to sink the ship so it couldn't get back. In fact, Lyndon Johnson even wanted that ship sunk. The president now, the guy sitting in the White House, the piece of shit dog meat Jew that he was, actually wanted a U.S. naval vessel sunk so that his friends, his fellow kikes, wouldn't be blamed for the murder. This is the kind of crap that's been going on for decades, and our people are sitting around, have another beer, order another slice of pizza, let's play another game of pinball, or I'll sit here and play another game on my computer, or, hey, wait a minute, there's a good football game on it, come on, let's drink beer and watch football. Completely divorcing yourself of the insanity and the outrageous behavior of these antichrists that walk amongst us. And we wonder why the world's effed up. Gee, I wonder. This is one we haven't read in a while. The 23rd Psalm. I was going to read part of it, but it's a short one, so we'll read the whole thing. Yahweh, it says the Lord, but it's Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, meaning pastures that have good food in them. He leads me beside still waters. In the Hebrew language, it says beside waters of rest, meaning no waves, okay? No waves on our lake. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the valley of deep darkness in the Hebrew. Deep darkness. What is darkness again? Oh, that's right. Ignorance. Ignorance of Yahweh and his law. That's the world we live in today. I will fear no evil, for you, Yahweh, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Every true believer today has a table prepared in the presence of our multitude of enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And by the way, this oil, I've often said, I believe it to be castor oil. Some people think it's olive oil, but if you look up the benefits of castor oil, you're going to find it's an amazing oil, and it's always been known as the palm of Christ. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, surely is also only in the Hebrew, only goodness and mercy. And mercy is also steadfast love. And I shall dwell, or shall return to dwell, in the house of Yahweh forever. Now that's interesting, the footnote on dwell here. I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Or you could say, I shall return. Now, put that in light of other scriptures that says we are born from above, not born again, as these Christards, these Zio Christians say. No, not born again, born from above. And so even in the ancient Hebrew, it talks about shall return to the house, return to the other side of the firmament. When you're done here in these meat bags we call bodies, you return to where you came from. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In the New Testament, one of my favorite books is the writings of John, the Beloved. In fact, that's what John means, is Yochanan. Beloved of Yahweh is the name. It is also the root name of many surnames, such as Jones, Johnson, Johnston, etc. Psalm 118, verse 6. Yahweh is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. Indeed, what can man do to you? Take away your toys? Who gave you life? Who put the things in this world here? Everything is a mind game today, folks. If you haven't figured out that's how the Jews work, then shame on you. Isaiah 43, but now thus says Yahweh God, He who created you, O Jacob. That's funny. It doesn't say the world. It doesn't say everybody on two legs. O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Why? Because Jacob and Israel are synonymous. It's the same guy. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. How do you know of the Adamic peoples who are those called out by Yahweh? Because not all Adamic people are meant to be saved. Sorry, but they're not. You don't know of any? I know lots of white people that I don't want to see stick around. I don't know about you folks, but there's lots of them. So what part of the Caucasian, Aryan, Adamite race do you think he's referring to? How about those who hear my voice? Those that I have called forth? Those whose actions, words, and mannerisms, and figures of speech, and habits exhibit the best of my qualities? Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim God will come with vengeance, with recompense of Yahweh. He will come and save you. Hallelujah. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in Yahweh God, whose word I praise. In Yahweh I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh or man do to me? Hallelujah. So again, with everything that's going on, this complete insanity, that's why I picked those today. Because many people are anxious, many people are somewhat fearful, doubtful. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants the low vibrations of anger, suspicion, contention. He wants that because he thrives in that. You know, analogy just popped into my head because I do practice holistic medicine. I've been to schools for it. It was kind of interesting the day the instructors were telling us, disease cannot live in an alkaline body. Now, what do you mean by that, Dan? Well, because the pH, percentage of hydrogen, that's what pH stands for, little p, capital H. The pH is measured on a scale from 1 to 14. And 1 to 7 is acidic levels, and 7 to 14 is alkaline. 7 represents neutral, neither acidic nor alkaline. Now, your blood is very close to 7. It's not 7, but it's very close to 7. And if I remember from many years ago and being in school, it's only like 0.2 or 0.3 from neutral. But it is a very precise pH level. In fact, if your body gets out of a band of about 0.2%, pH, you die. That's how critical. In fact, your body will rob minerals from bone, muscle, tissue, and organs to keep the pH level of your blood within a specific band. It's that critical. It will sacrifice organs or bone because the blood, remember, life is in the blood. It's that critical. So I was thinking, they said that disease cannot live in a body that has an alkaline pH level, or at least very close to it, like 6.8. However, we have looked at the statistics. People with cancer typically have a pH level, and we're talking about the fluids of the body, not blood. We're talking about like your urine and the water that flows through the veins or the cells of your body. People with cancer, very bad diseases, including cancer, their pH level is down somewhere from the range of 2 to 4, typically in the 3s, like 3.3. That is highly, highly acidic. Now, how does the body get that way? Because of what you eat and drink, by the way. In other words, your habits and your diet control the body's pH. So the corollary, or the what you should draw from that, is if you eat properly and drink lots of good clean water, which should have a pH level in the alkaline zone, somewhere between 7 and 9, if your body is kept in the pH range that it's supposed to be, was designed to be by our Creator, you almost never get sick because the parasites cannot live in that environment. They must have the highly acidic environment. The parasites that infect mankind, known as Jews, Judaic Talmudic Jews, are just like those parasites in your body. They thrive with the negativity, which is equated to acidic level in your body. They thrive in chaos, in stupidity, in ignorance, and immorality. They thrive in that environment. Why do we have so many of these monsters walking amongst us? Because we have not created an environment that they can't stand. How do you create that, Dan? How do you do that? You do that when you repent and start living according to the laws of our God. When you start believing that race mixing is wrong. When you start believing that the food laws apply today just like they did 6,000 years ago. There's no difference. When you stop putting the poisonous animals in your body as food when they're not food. And by the way, that is where a lot of acidity comes from. The various meats that you're eating that are forbidden the Adamic man to eat. Okay? But that's okay. Dan, I don't like you telling me what I can and cannot eat. But you don't understand. I'm not telling you a damn thing. Because really, I don't give a crap what you eat. I really don't. Because I figure if you don't care, why should I care? I also figure if you want to die early, who am I to stop you? In fact, I wish you would speed up the process and get the hell out of here. All of you people that don't want Yahweh to be the God of creation, all of you that think his laws don't matter, you'd rather listen to a bunch of Jew lawyers and Jew lawmakers in Washington and the different capitals of the white man's countries. They have taken them all over. You would rather live by their stupidity, their ignorance, than the Creator who gave you life. Do I want you around? No, I don't. I'll be honest, I don't. I've lost my empathy for the white man and white woman that don't give a shit about truth, because Yahweh is truth. The white man and white woman that want to go out and just do whatever feels good to them, I hope you do die. I got to be honest. Because you're getting in the way. Every time I've run into an obstacle to bring Yahweh's word to the world, it was white men and women that tried to stop me. It wasn't Jews. It wasn't blacks. Wasn't browns. Wasn't even yellow. It was Caucasians, Aryans, who think they know better than me, who think that that preacher or that priest at the temple of Satan called a Catholic church is telling them the truth, who think they're doing service to the Almighty when they condemn people like me. So do I want them to survive? No. No, I don't. If at this late hour, with all of this dystopia going on around us, and you're still listening to that retard behind the pulpit, or that retard in the cathedral, then I hope it's true. I hope you're gone. I want men and women to survive who cherish righteousness, who want to do the right thing, and they don't believe the lies of the media, which is controlled again by Talmudic Jews. They want to follow Christ's example. Christ condemned these people. And no, don't give me that bullshit that Christ was a Jew. Please. If anybody believes that at this time, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, but you're just a complete idiot. Christ was an Aryan. That's so obvious, it's somebody smacking you upside the head with a 2x4. You cannot deny it. And that's why they hated him, because he denounced them for who they were. That's why they conspired to have him murdered. They hated him. That's why he went into the crowds to disappear, because they were after him. Just like they're after you and me. They're after anybody who tells the truth, because they make billions and now trillions of dollars over your ignorance and stupidity, putting poisons in your body, going to hospitals where they inject you with God knows what, going to doctors who are nothing but drug pushers today. Again, you can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you what I know. I don't wish anybody harm. I really don't. But I'm at that point where if you're not going to listen to reason, logic, and scriptural truth, then what do I want to do with you? Why do I want to care about you? Why should I? Yeshua himself said, go into the way of the Gentiles, meaning the other peoples. Find the Israelites out there amongst all these mixed multitude. And teach my truth. Go to where they live and teach my truth. And if they accept the truth, then stick around. But if they don't, knock the dust from your feet and keep right on trucking. Those are the words of Messiah. Why shouldn't they be my words? I'll tell you the truth if you seek it. I'll tell you what I know. I'll tell you what many of the people who have been my mentors have told me over the many years. I'll share truth with you at any time. But I'm not going to go and knock you over the head or drag you into my house or force you to. Nope, never going to do that. Yeshua didn't do it. Why should I do it? He just said, here, I'm here. I'm here telling the truth. Do you want the truth? Do you want to know the truth about your health? Do you want to know the truth about these lying pieces of shit Talmudic Jews and the fact that they control everything, including your media and the propaganda? They even got control over your so-called churches. If you're that ignorant that you want to believe that they're the chosen people, that they're somehow going to miraculously all come to Christ at some moment in time, you are a complete retard. Now, if you want to listen to a preacher that preaches that garbage, then go ahead. I wish you well as you slowly sink and these creatures from hell continue to poison, rape, murder, enslave mankind. All of mankind, not just the white race. They want the white race to be subdued because we are the nemesis to the Jew. We've always been that. Just read your Bible. They want us subdued because we are the threat. These other races, they're just using you. And once the white man's out of the way, by the way, all you brown, yellow, etc. folks out there, black, once the white man's out of the way, the Jew will have full control and he will turn his attention towards you. And then you're going to find out what they really think about you, non-whites. Just letting you know, again, if you don't care for the truth, I don't really care about you. But if you do, you'd better wise up. Because these monsters aren't going to stop by just taking out the white race. They will eliminate most of you all, and the ones they let behind will be slaves. Now, Dan, you can't say things like that. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't say that. I am paraphrasing several rabbis who have made speeches recently and did not know they were being recorded. That is the words of Jews when they don't think other people are around. See, they're so used to you being so lazy and ignorant that you're never going to look into anything. All they got to do is control the media and the churches, and they've got you completely bamboozled. They know that you don't have enough gumption to look into a matter for yourself. You'd rather let some retard behind a pulpit or a retard in front of a TV camera tell you what the world is all about, because you're lazy. But for those of us who know, Yahweh has a special place for them. But the world will hate us, especially the world controlled by these Talmudic cesspool-dwelling Jews. Now, here's the good news, though. There is an awakening going on. And they can't suppress it forever. There is an awakening going on to what these creatures have done, not just to the United States, with a little u, by the way, the United Sovereign States of America, but to all the white nations and now all of the other nations. Because even there was recently a black guy that put out, I think it was on TikTok, he said, I want to apologize to the white race because I've been blaming you for all the things done to blacks when it turned out it was Jews. So it's not just Kanye. It's not just that NBA player. There are blacks paying attention, just like the preacher James David Manning in Harlem, New York, has been saying it for a very long time. You're blaming white people for what Jews do. You really need to stop doing that. You need to find out who your real enemy is. It's not the white man. It's not the man that has Yahweh's spirit within him. It's these imposters, these wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember that scripture? Wolves in sheep's clothing. Meaning on the outside they look like a sheep, but on the inside they're something completely alien to us. That's what that parable's talking about. And shame on us if we don't pay attention. So again, I'm getting a lot of reports that says that something big is about to happen. What it is, I don't know. Who's behind it? I can't tell you, except ultimately, of course, my Father in heaven is. So again, even in the midst of all this idiocy, I sleep pretty good at night. Well, Dan, they might send Mossad after you, or they might send, pay some thugs. Yeah, that's true. They could have done that for the past 40 years. And it still might happen. I don't know, but I really don't even care. Neither should you. The truth is the truth, and what we're to do day in and day out, regardless of any threats. Regardless. And what you come to find out is the enemy is playing a mind trick on you. Is it possible for them to do those things? Yep, it is. It's very possible. But will they do it? Remember, there is a scripture that says that Yahweh reproved kings and princes and said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Is your father in control, or is Satan and his kids in control? Is your father in control? Have you given the enemy control? Remember, they make war by deception. And I'll throw one out there for you before we close. My personal belief, they don't have nuclear weapons. I don't believe they exist. And you got to remember, I was in the United States Air Force, and I used to watch them load these things called nuclear bombs onto B-52 bombers. The B-52 bombers that I saw carried four of them. Four nuclear bombs in one bomber. Those things could have been hollow, as far as I know. Nobody out there on the base knew what was inside those things. They could have been a mock-up. Could have been a dummy. Could have been full of lead bricks, just to make you think it. Because I take Occam's razor seriously. If they actually possessed them, they would have used them by now, because these people are completely insane. It's the fear of them using them that gets them what they want. Just like the fear of them shutting down the internet, the fear of them putting us on a digital currency, the fear, the fear, the fear, the fear. What happened to fear of the Father? What happened to reverence of the Father? What happened to we are his children? You don't think he can provide a way around whatever the enemy's doing if we will just obey? It's a question. That's one reason, like I said, I don't live in a state of fear. Am I concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned, and I keep my eyes open because there's people I love and my family and friends and neighbors. I'm always on the lookout because there are bad people in this world. But to live in fear, no. Because when I leave here, I know where I'm going. In fact, I have to be honest, there's days that I'd almost rather just go over there than staying here in this shithole. And again, it's not because I don't want to be here. Because I know what this world could be like. That's my problem. I know. I have the vision of what this world could be like living under God's law by men and women, Adamic men and women who truly love each other and love the Father. I can see that world. And having to live in the one that we've got, knowing what it could be, is torture. To see white men and women behave as I see them behave today is torture. Knowing what they were created as and what they could be if they just tried is torture. To watch people give credence and loyalty and obeyance to a bunch of Talmudic Jews whose very nature is Antichrist, who are behind all of the evils that we all bitch about, and nobody wants to do anything about it? That's torture. My people suffer from a lack of vision. Well, I know about the one that says my people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. There's two of them that say that. But there's also a psalm, well, psalm or proverb that says my people suffer from a lack of vision. Our people can't even envision true liberty. Envision a world at peace. A world with real food, clean water, clean air, almost no government. Actually, peace with their neighbors. We've lost the vision of that. We've accepted what the Jew has created as if that's normal. And that we can't do anything about it. We just accept that. I don't accept that. I will not accept that. Because again, I can envision what we're capable of and what we should be. I wish you guys would too. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We ask for forgiveness, Father, for our shortcomings, our stumblings, our doubts, our fears. Take those things away from us and renew our spirit, Father. Speak to your children upon this earth. Give us the courage to stand tall and upright in this world of slaves and those who acquiesce to evil. Help us to be the banner, the ensign that will be a sign for our people to migrate to and to yearn to be part of. We can do those things, Father, as you lead us. And if we have the courage to take hold of your hand and live as you commanded us to live, to be warriors and not simps and cucks, to defend the innocent and the widows and the orphans. We've let you down, Father Yahweh. There is no doubt about that. You have a remnant that walks this earth, and I would pray, Father, that you would raise that remnant up, that you would arm them, both physically and spiritually, that we might become that righteous army that Obadiah told us about, and that we would rid this world of the evil that lives amongst us, destroy it utterly and completely, that peace and prosperity, truth and honesty and righteousness might return to this earth. We ask and pray all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Along about 1825, I left Tennessee very much alive. I never would have gotten through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been riding that Tennessee stud. I had some trouble with my sweetheart's pa, and one of her brothers was a bad outlaw. I sent her a letter by my Uncle Fudd, and I rode away on the Tennessee stud. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood. There never was a horse like the Tennessee stud. We drifted on down to no man's land, and we crossed that river called the Rio Grande. I raced my horse with the Spaniard's foal till I got me a skin full of silver and gold. Me and the gambler, we couldn't agree. We got in a fight over Tennessee. We jerked our guns and he fell with a thud, and I got away on the Tennessee stud. The Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood. There never was a horse like the Tennessee stud. Got just as lonesome as a man could be, dreaming of a girl in Tennessee. The Tennessee stud's green eyes turned blue, he was dreaming of a sweetheart too. We loped on back across Arkansas, I whooped her brothers and I whooped her pa. When I found that girl with the golden hair, she was riding that Tennessee mare. Tennessee stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood. There never was a horse like the Tennessee stud. stirrup and side by side, across them mountains and the valleys wide. Came to Big Muddy and reported a flood on the Tennessee Mare and the Tennessee Stud. There's a pretty little baby on the cabin floor and a little horse coat hanging round the door. How I love that girl with the golden hair, and the Tennessee Stud loves the Tennessee Mare. The Tennessee Stud was long and lean, the color of the sun, and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, there never was a horse like the Tennessee Stud.
never see you again. And I'll never please you again. Live on.
A fortune for fools who gentle king comes in peace on a donkey, but then on a charger.